These two dogs loved, loved, loved to play together. They would run all over whoever's house we were at. They would run through the yard. They were kind of just like a blur of different colors moving around.
This is curious. Could this be Catherine Keener? I don't know, but I am excited to find out more about the situation.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Henkin.
And I'm Laura Wexler. This week on the podcast, WTF? Two stories in which something confusing and cuckoo happens and it never gets clarified.
Yeah.
I feel like there's just no closure here. We're not offering closure this week. So if you showed up for closure,
you're not getting it.
Shut the front door.
Yep.
Close the door.
Just lean in.
Because you're not getting any closure.
Because that, you know what? And that's the state of our world right now.
It is life. And
so,
before we get to it, today we want to thank Park School of Baltimore, independent co-ed non-sectarian school K through 12 here in Baltimore.
So our first storyteller is Shawnee Mink. She is a veggie and livestock crew manager at the Pearlstone Center, as well as a founding director of the Jewish Farmer Network. She was just a really cool lady who reached out to us, and we were very honored to feature this pretty cuckoo and unclear story that you're going to listen to now.
So when I was in like fourth or fifth grade, these twins moved to town, and very quickly I became super, super close with both of them. And pretty soon after that, our families developed this like flourishing family friendship. They lived around the corner from us, and our parents were kind of the only hippies in this like modern Orthodox Jewish community, which is like they kind of don't work together, but and we would carpool together, and we would have Shabbat dinners together and extracurricular activities, everything we did together. But the kind of shining beacon of our family friendship was the relationship between our dogs. Now, I had this beautiful silky black lab mix named Bella, and they had this like old arthritic boxer named Austin. And these two dogs loved, loved, loved to play together. They would run all over whoever's house we were at. They would run through the yard. They were kind of just like a blur of different colors moving around. Yeah, so this was just like this really important part of our friendship. Whenever we went over, they were like, bring Bella. They have to play. They must play. And we had a key to their house so that, you know, if they needed to come over and let their dog out, we could, and vice versa. And at the beginning of eighth grade, one Sunday, they picked up the bagels for my parents. If you aren't from New Jersey, like I am, Sunday is bagel day. And my mom went over to their house to pick the bagels up that they picked up for us. She brought the dog with her. She knocked on the door because she didn't keep her key on her. It was kind of an emergency thing. And one of their daughters saw my mom at the door and was like, oh, hey, Leslie, come on in. My mom came in. She brought the dogs. They did their blur around the house thing, playing all over the place. And their mom came home. They chatted, as moms do. And then eventually my mom took her bagels, took the dog, and left. And by the end of that night, Austin was in the emergency vet. And over the next couple days, my mom helped to bring this dog back and forth from the vet for surgeries. Because while they were playing, Austin had slipped and a disc had slipped in his spine. And he was really sick. And the next thing that I really remember, I don't really remember being told that Austin had died, but I just remember that all of a sudden the friendship between our families was over. Their dad, who he was a shrink, he had kind of decided that the death of this dog was my mom's fault, that my mom shouldn't have let herself into their house, which she didn't, and she shouldn't have brought the dog over, which they always invited her to do. And he wrote my mom this like 2-page letter, just kind of just digging at her and saying like, how dare she do what she did? And this was a transitional moment in my life. I had just changed, switched schools to a public school. And all of a sudden, this like kind of family friend structure that I had, this support, was gone. And when I went to synagogue on the weekends, people would come up to me and be like, "Oh, hey, didn't your mom kill that dog?" Just crazy. And it was really hard. It was just like this. I mean, if you've met my mom, she likes dogs more than people. She'd rather like scoop dog shit than do anything else. And it was just, I don't know, it was just like this crazy thing. Like, my mom kill a dog? That's like ridiculous. And all of a sudden this, I don't know, the friendship was over and it was just a weird thing. And in the years that followed, they moved their seat in synagogue to not sit by us. Families who sided with them, believed that my mom killed the dog, stopped talking to us. And kind of to this day, they don't look at us. They don't acknowledge us. It's this like crazy thing. And I heard that a year afterwards, they decided to get a puppy and they hired a psychic to contact the soul of Austin, the dog that died. And they tried to kind of like, I don't really know that much about this, but they tried to transition the soul of Austin into the body of the new puppy, and the puppy died. So they got a new one. And all these years later, I decided to, I asked my parents about kind of like what happened, and my dad was like, "Oh, I have the letter. You want to read it?" And I read the letter, and this letter was in a Word document. It wasn't even in the body of an email, so you know it's serious. And I read this letter, and it made me feel so sad and so confused. That just like there was this like one tragedy of the death of this dog that kind of just multiplied into all of these other tragedies of this like separation of this friendship and like alienation from a community and just like this weird reputation for my mom. And yeah, it just made me feel really sad for them that like I didn't get to be there for my friend in their moment of grief because their dad decided that this was the end for our families. And I don't know, that my mom has to deal with that. And then that like my own self, like I don't remember what I was feeling at the time, but like I imagine I must have been like really sad about it. I was really alone and it was like a really confusing, confusing thing to contend with. My mom told me that recently she was in line for coffee and she noticed that their mom was in front of her in line. And apparently she turned around and they just looked at each other and laughed. And they just looked into each other's eyes and laughed and laughed and laughed. Didn't say a word. And that was it. And, that's my story. Thank you.
Bewildering.
Yeah.
It's just so bewildering.
Yeah. And I do love that moment that she describes between her mom and her friend's mom where they just look
They're
at each other
line, yeah.
They're in, and they just, that laughter must have been so real and so
right.
cathartic and
yeah.
but
yeah.
doesn't move you past it really. It's just like a, what
and
else
it,
can
it,
you do?
It's all, yeah. And it's a story that also shows something that I'd say to my kids a lot, which is adults are just big kids. Like adults do the same kind of stupid stuff, like get mad at you and never talk to you again, you know, and you think you won't. I think kids think adults never do stuff like that. So it's like she had this bewildering and sad experience of the dog dying and then just seeing adults act like this and just, yeah, just this was one of the cases where working with her on this story, I feel like, brought up a lot of sadness that originally she thought it was just kind of a funny, weird story. But underneath it is like this loss of these friends and this sense like that, you know, they had been misdone. You know, they had been done wrong and had never been set right. So I feel like this might have been a rare case where sharing a story made her feel worse.
Worse than bad. better. Oh, oh,
temporarily, at least, because usually people feel so great, but I think it brought up a lot of confusing stuff.
Well, and we said this show was, you're not going to get things clarified. It's not going to be closure. So before we move forward with our next storyteller, we want to thank Baltimore Magazine, which has been a friend of the Soup Podcast for a while. They have their own podcast, Baltimore Boomerang, which they revisit intriguing archive stories. We also want to thank Golden West, which is an omni restaurant with a Southwestern vegan forward menu located on the Avenue in Hamden since 1997, actually. That's a long ass time.
Mm-hmm. Yummy. Okay. This next storyteller, her name is Carmen Brock. She grew up in Kentucky, which, boy, she poured on the Kentucky at this. It was like bourbon in this story there. She moved to Baltimore to teach seventh grade in the city, and then she ended up opening Trove, which is a home goods and gift store in Hamden. And it's a wonderful store, and it's been voted like best store in Baltimore by Architectural Digest. And it's just a beautiful space and a very community-oriented space, and she's amazing person, full disclosure, one of our dearest friends. So, but this is a story about something that happened in Las Vegas. And it, you know, I know there's like this whole genre of Vegas stories of like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And, you know, this story did not stay in Vegas, but whatever understanding there is exists there in the ether somewhere, because it is so confusing. So follow us down the rabbit hole with this story from Carmen Brock.
I go to Las Vegas about twice a year for my work. I own a store in Hamden called Trove, and so I will go to trade shows several times a year throughout the country to buy things for my store. So I, when I go to these shows, I am like laser focused. I take them very seriously. So I am in Las Vegas truly not to play. I am there to work truly. So I leave the show one day, and I'm heading back to my hotel. I have a free ticket to a buffet at this, like, fancy place in Vegas, and I am going to fuck that buffet up. That's my night. I got a book. I'm going to fuck up this buffet, and that's going to be my whole night. I am so excited about my night ahead, and then I'm going to get up early and do the show. I never eat lunch when I'm at these shows, so I'm, like, starving, so I'm going to get it. So I make it back to I leave the trade show for the day. I'm at my hotel at the buffet. I'm sitting at my table. I have a book. I am going to be there for a while. And there is a woman sitting next to me who's also sitting by herself. And I hear her talking, and I don't know if she's like making a video, if she's like talking to herself. I'm not quite sure, but I get a sense that she might be trying to engage me. I'm not quite sure, but she does get my attention, and she's like, "Hey, did you try like the ribs up on the buffet?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I did." And so we start talking, and then as she's talking and I see her, I'm like, "Huh. Man, she looks just like Catherine Keener to me." And I don't know if you know who Catherine Keener is, but Catherine Keener is this actress. She's probably in her 50s. She might be 60s. She's, in my opinion, she's stunning. She's gorgeous. She has long, dark hair. She was in Capote and Being John Malkovich, 40-Year-Old Virgin. And those are some things that she's known for. But one distinguishing characteristic about her also, I think, is her voice. Like, Catherine Keener has this, like, gravelly, like, I think sexy, gritty voice. And so when this woman's like, "Hey, did you try the sirloin tips up there?" I'm like, man, she not only looks like Catherine Keener, she has this, like, voice of Catherine Keener. Like, this is bananas. I'm, like, a fan of her. I like her a lot. So she actually asks me to join her table. And I'm like, well, I seriously, I'm like laser focused. I want to go to bed early, but okay, this is curious. Could this be Catherine Keener? I don't know, but I am excited to find out more about the situation. So she invites me over. We're sitting there. She starts telling me about herself. She's from L.A. And she has been partying all day. And she's been drinking all day. She is there to party like most humans are in Vegas. Not me at this trip, but she's there to party. And she's getting away from some family drama that she has been a part of. She begins to share that her brother has tried to commit suicide. And she's there just blowing off some steam, getting away from family, meeting up with friends later. And I share with her, too, that I had a brother who died when he was younger in a car accident. And so we're talking about sirloin tips, but we're also talking about, like, life stuff. So it's a really curious conversation, and I'm just the whole time interested in what we're talking about, but I'm also like, is this Catherine Keener? I don't know. I don't know, but this is crazy. And do what is happening? I don't know. But so I do decide, okay, like I'm laser focused. I've got to do work and stay focused. And so I'm going to wrap this up fairly soon. And I noticed to her back, she can't see this table, but there's a table to her back. It's a table of three. And there are, the man that's sitting at the table has like his head on his, the back of his hand like this. And he is sobbing. I mean, heaving. It is, and it's not really the type of cry that you lost at craps kind of cry. It's not that, it is like, my sense of it is like a life event sob that's happening here. And so I think, well, as I am going to leave Catherine Keener, I am going to, if it seems appropriate when I leave, I will just say something to him like, hey, I'm sorry that whatever you're going through. So Catherine Keener and I are talking, and we actually do, I forget to mention this, we actually do introduce ourselves. And I say, it's been so nice chatting with you. My name is Carmen. And she was like, my name is Catherine. And I was like, oh. I said, I am sure that everyone tells you all the time that you look just like, and she interrupts me. She's like, oh, yeah, I get that all the time. And she doesn't say, I get this all the time, and it's not me. And she doesn't say, I get this all the time, it's me. So I am still just like, this is so interesting. I don't know, but thank you for this interesting experience, and this has been quite lovely, and thank you. So about this time, the man that's sobbing at the end or at this other table gets up and walks probably to the buffet, and I go over to him, and I just, because he's away from the table, and I go over to him, and I say, hey, I'm not trying to be nosy or be involved in something I don't need to be in. We saw you crying, and I'm sorry, whatever this is, and we're just sending some love from our table to yours. And so he says, oh, thank you so much. Like, he begins to tell me this really terrible story about his son, who is 17 and had recently killed himself, and begins to just unfold. I mean, the people you meet, right? And in Vegas, it's just like this banana story. It's deeply sad. It's so terrible. So we're connecting on that, really. But I noticed that Catherine, I thought, was moving on with her friends. She had said she was meeting some friends later that night. I mean, probably, you know, like Bradley Cooper or something. And then I am ending my night because I have done the buffet and I am going to bed. But I noticed that she has shifted over to the table where he was once sitting with his, like, table mates. And so, I'm like, well, this is going to continue. Okay, cool. Like, we'll see where this goes. So we all get back over to this table. And I notice that the women that are sitting there, they are calling her by a different name. they are calling her Rachel. And they're saying things like, Rachel said that you all just met just now and that you're having like good conversations. We're so glad that you and Rachel came over to the table. And I was like, well, okay, well, did I think that she looked like Catherine, sounded like Catherine Keener, and when she introduced herself as Catherine, did I actually make this up? Like, I really didn't think I did, but I'm like, all right, did I make this up? Or is she actually Catherine Keener, and she doesn't want to tell everyone who she is? I don't know. But we're talking about, like... We're talking about, like, death things, so I just don't feel like that clarifying who she is the most important thing at the moment. I didn't want to be like, all right, hold up on the, and then what's your name? I don't know. So I really skip that detail and just kind of think that's not as important. This is all just fun and interesting. So we, Catherine, Rachel... We leave the situation. I am like going to bed. That's my plan. And she is going to meet up with some friends. So on our way out, when we were sitting at the table, just she and I had told her that I had some CBD mints that sometimes I would take before I go to bed to help me sleep. She had asked if she could have one. And I was like, yes. So we get in the elevators and I say, hey, I know you're going out with friends. So whatever room you are, just tell me, you know, as you're getting ready where your room is, and I'll just come and slip it under your door. So we get in the elevators, and she's on her, I forget to mention that she says she's been drinking the whole time. She's also been ordering drinks the whole time. This is not a judgment. This is just content. And she's on her phone a lot. She's just got things going on. So we get in the elevator, and when we get in the elevator, she's like, oh, this isn't my set of elevators. My elevators are servicing another area. You know how, like, sometimes some elevators will service, like, floor 0 to 30, and then the others will service, like, 30 to 60. So we got on those, and she's like, I'm in the wrong set. I'll just come to your room and get that mint. And there was just something about it that felt not... I wasn't, like, completely comfortable with it. I just was like, I'm, like, going to bed. You're going out with friends. You're ready to party. I'm not going to do that. And so I say, well, your name is Catherine, right? And she said, yeah. And I was like, well, what's your last name? She said, what's your last name? And I was like, Brock. And she said, oh, I never tell anyone my last name. And so I was like, well, okay. All right, I'll just continue to go with this mystery and just see where this goes. So we go to my room. And you know how, like, in a hotel, when you shut the door, there's, like, that bar thing where it doesn't – you can, like, lock yourself in, or you can also put it in place so the door doesn't close the whole way. Which is what I did. I put the bar there so that the door wouldn't close the whole way. I just felt uncomfortable. I felt comfortable with that. And so as the door slams on the bar and she's on her phone, when she hears the door slam on the bar, she goes, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, I'm getting you this mint. I'm going to bed. And I, you know, she's on her phone, so I'm referencing her phone. And I'm like, and you're going out with your buddies. She says, I am on the phone with my mother. I told you that my brother died, and I am texting with my mother to help her out. You're telling me to get off the phone with her. And I was like, actually, I'm not telling you to get off the phone. And actually, did your brother die? I don't know. Like, I thought he tried to, and I don't know, like, what's happening. So she is really agitated at this point. I don't know exactly what's going on, but she's furious and she's agitated. She goes into my bathroom, and she takes off her cap. I mean, that's another thing. She's, like, hiding under a cap, like, most of the time. and she takes off her cap and she grabs a hairbrush on my countertop and starts brushing her hair. And then she swooshes everything off, all of my toiletries and cosmetics, off the countertop, and they scatter everywhere on the floor. And then she stomps out and goes farther into my room where my computer is, and she swooshes everything off the computer, and it falls to the ground. And so I walk to the door, and I open the door, and I say, Catherine or Rachel, I don't enjoy this. I am having, this doesn't feel good, and I don't understand what's happening. And I am going to step out into the hallway and start screaming for security. Because, I mean, at this point, I'm like, there's nothing in my room that I care about really that much. And this is strange. So she stomps towards me. I have the door open. She stomps towards me, and she puts her, I have this mole on the top of, I've had it a really, my whole life, I have this mole on the top of my lip that she put her finger on. And so she pushes my mole and pushes me into the door in the wall, and she goes, everybody that sees that knows that it's actually herpes. And you are evil. You are fake as fuck. You aren't what you say you are. You have lured me up into your bedroom and treating me like shit. And then on her parting words as she walks out the door is, and I hope everyone in your family dies. And I was like, holy shit. If this is Catherine Keener, this is terrible PR for her. And I don't think she, I mean, I hope it wasn't, because I actually really like her. I mean, I liked her. So, but I'm like, this is terrible PR for her. Like, I don't understand. Like, what is going on? But I do realize, I mean, when she leaves, it's like twisty and weird, and I feel odd and deeply confused. But what I realize is that I am having a situation, an experience that is completely different from the experience in which she is having. There were so many truths and lies that I have yet to sift through. But in 2 days, I am going back to this show. Haven't been back since, and I am definitely hoping for a different type of adventure this time.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack with that story. We know this, and we have tried to unpack it with Carmen. We want to first say that the most recent consensus amongst our friend group is that this is unlikely actually Catherine Keener.
Right.
Because Catherine Keener is actually...
Keener, sorry.
It's not
Greg Kinnear's wife.
Greg Kinnear, that's what I'm thinking. Sorry, Catherine Keener.
Catherine Keener.
Is 5'8" or 5'9". And Carmen recalls that this woman was tiny. And Carmen's tiny. So
yeah.
If Carmen's saying this woman's tiny, that's like a notch on the maybe, likely
yeah,
not.
I don't think it was Catherine Keener.
Was it Catherine Keener?
It was not Catherine Keener either. So, okay, what else?
I mean, just in general, when you Google a star, if they have a history of acting crazy, you can find some stuff.
Yeah.
Catherine Keener is like clean
airtight
as a whistle. Nothing.
So you've checked all your sources.
All my sources really are coming back with nothing.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I got a lot of sources.
Yeah. And it's like the whole thing is a hall of mirrors, though. It's like there's nothing stable in the entire story. And that's what makes it so unsettling.
Yeah.
It's like, is it or is it Catherine Keener? Then this, did her brother try to commit suicide or did he die?
Yeah.
You know, what about this man with all this grief, you know, at the buffet?
It does feel a bit like an LSD trip in some ways.
And again, I think some of that has to do with being Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, it is kind of an altered place. Anyway, we are now going to bring to a close our episode that has no closure, or our stories that have no closure, by thanking the wine source at 3601 Elm Avenue in Hamden and encouraging you to visit us at stoopstorytelling.com. We've got great shows coming up for the fall and spring. We'd love to have you come if you are in the area or submit story ideas. Wherever you get your podcast content, if you want to leave us a review, we won't say no. Unless, of course, it's a bad review, then we'll say no. And we won't read it, actually.
We've learned not to read it.
Jessica has learned that.
It was devastating.
And please.
Some of it was really nice, actually.
Okay. So, and we want to thank Maureen Harvey, and we'll see you all back here for more stories from the Stoop. Take care.